Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. This life study is the basis of our program today, which includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's life study.
The church means a variety of things to different people. Its lowest perception is that of a building on the corner. Higher yet is that it's the gathering of the people of God. Then, to more enlightened students of the Bible, it's the body of Christ. This is a more abstract term, but certainly a higher understanding. But finally, we come to Ephesians, especially chapters 1, 2, and 3, where we see the highest definition of the church. The church which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. And to know the knowledge surpassing love of Christ, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. To see it in this light, as the fullness of God, requires more than simple Bible study. As we'll see today, it requires a vision, even revelation. Bob Danker has joined us for this very crucial fellowship. I think it's fair to say that, don't you, Bob?
I certainly do, Chris. What we are going to consider in this broadcast could be said to be one of the highest revelations in the entire Scriptures.
Yeah.
It is a crucial revelation that every genuine believer in Christ needs to receive. This is a revelation not concerning Christ only, but concerning the church. In particular, we need to see what the church is in its highest definition, and we need to see how such a church can actually come into being today.
You know, Bob, recently I've done some study in the history of Watchman Nee's life and ministry, and he published, a number of books were published from his authorship, I would say, after he was imprisoned, and in the last part of the 60s and 70s, and a number of things were published related to the church, and this matter of the church as the body of Christ was very prominent in his ministry, and others picked it up, and others were writing similar things. And I would say, to some degree, this elevated a good many believers' understanding of the church up to this level. But what we're taking on today is really something in another level, isn't it, above even that?
It is, Chris. This is really the highest perception of what the church is, the way Paul describes it in the book of Ephesians, especially in the portion in chapter 3 that we are now going to consider. This is really on the highest plane.
Bob, I think to really get it, it's helpful if we go back to the verses that we covered in the last couple of days in chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, especially those verses that precede this one we read about the fullness here. Verse 16 says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit into the inner man, that Christ may make his home in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be full of strength to apprehend with all the saints what the breadth and length and height and depth are, and to know the knowledge surpassing love of Christ, that you may be filled unto all the fullness. It's a tough job, but maybe in a minute or two you could give us a very succinct review or encapsulation of what we touched related to these verses, Bob.
Well, Chris, these verses show us the kind of experience that we as the believers in Christ need to have in order to become the church. They show us that the church is not something that can be organized, but something that is constituted through our experience of the triune God. These verses show us that the Father, according to the Apostle Paul's prayer, the Father works to strengthen us, but he does it by the Spirit, so that Christ the Son can make his home in our heart. That means to saturate our entire inner being with all the riches of what he is. This is the kind of experience we need to have as believers. Then the result of all this experience of Christ, experience of the triune God, is that we are filled with all the riches of what God is, so that we become the fullness of God. This is quite a vision here, and I pray we could see it and we could experience it.
That's really where we're going to be today, and that's the focus very specifically of this first portion. I think he'll give us a good practical illustration when we can get our hands on related to the fullness. And of course, even in the very beginning in the Gospel of John, Christ is referred to as the fullness. For of his fullness we have all received, grace upon grace. A meaningful verse as we consider it in light of what we're talking about in Ephesians, as we'll see. Here's Witness Lee.
John 1 says what? The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Then it says, of his fullness have all we received. Let me illustrate to you. Here is a glass, a big glass, and large items. Candy, nuts, chocolate, all kinds of sweet things. These are the riches. I put all these riches into the glass, but just half filled. Riches are in, but there's no fullness. Could you see this? I put in more riches, until the full glass is filled up. Then you do not only have the riches, but you have the fullness. You could see the fullness is just expression. It is until all the rich items fill the glass up to the brim. Then you have the fullness as the very expression of all the riches. When Christ was there, not only the riches of God were there, but the fullness. And this fullness is just the completeness of what God is. Then this fullness, this completeness, this completion is just expression of God. When the Lord Jesus was on this earth, he himself was filled with all the riches of God to the brim. The Lord Jesus was just that glass. He was filled with all the riches of God to the brim into the fullness of God. Then, when the disciples came to receive, they received from the fullness. Out of the fullness of Christ, we all have received. So, the fullness in the New Testament means the expression. The expression of all the riches.
Well, Bob, as you pointed out at the beginning, this is such a crucial revelation, and we're building it very slowly and deliberately here. But the first critical thing is to see this matter of the fullness and how it related, and I use past tense there on purpose, to Christ exclusively at one time, didn't it? And his illustration about the glass is very graphic.
Very graphic, Chris. When Christ came, he was full of the riches of what God is.
Uh-huh.
The riches of what God is filled Christ to such an extent that he was filled to the brim, even, I would say, to overflowing with these riches. So because with him there was the fullness, then there was the expression of the riches. So in the human life of the Lord and in the words that he spoke, what we really encounter here is the expression of the riches of what God is, because these riches had filled him to the brim to become the fullness. And as John said there in chapter 1, it's out of his fullness that we receive grace upon grace, because Christ is filled with the riches of the what God is, up to the brim and overflowing, then we can receive these riches, which are really the grace. The grace that we receive from Christ is just these riches that are overflowing out of his very being to us for our enjoyment.
Well, now, the next phase of the vision is to realize, as the Apostle Paul brings us to in Ephesians chapter 1, that the church now has become or is becoming this same fullness, this same expression of God himself, the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. And this transition from Christ to the church as the real manifestation of this fullness is really at the core, wouldn't you say, of the vision?
I would say this is the key. The very fullness that was in Christ there when he was a man in the flesh in the four Gospels now becomes the constituent of the church, so that the church becomes the enlargement of that fullness that is in Christ. So the expression of God becomes enlarged. With Christ, there is a certain amount of the expression of God, but when the riches of Christ dispensed into all the believers, and they in turn are filled with these riches unto fullness, unto overflowing, then there is an enlargement of this original fullness, and the church is just that expansion, that enlargement of the fullness of God.
Let's go back to Witness Lee and listen as he says we think about the same thing.
By this, we all have to see what is the church. My, to say the church is just a bungalow at that corner. Terrible. Even to say the church is the ecclesia, the called people gathering together, is not adequate. And today, this term, the body of Christ, signifying the church, is very popular, but I really doubt, they understand what this term body implies. The body of Christ is the expression of Christ. That is the fullness of God. And how this fullness of God comes into existence? By our being strengthened into the inner man, that Christ can make his home to occupy every part of our inward being and saturate them with all what he is until we all will be rooted and grounded in love and grasp all the dimensions of such an immeasurable Christ and know himself as the surpassing love, then surely we will be filled with all the riches of Christ and saturated with all what Christ is metabolically, with the result, the fullness of God. The fullness of God, which is the highest definition of the church, comes into being in this way. Brothers, if you have the vision, I tell you, your whole being will be changed. Then you see what is the church. There are two chapters already, chapter 1 and 2, given the definition of the church, yet it is still not adequate. Until chapter 3 comes in, telling us how the church is constituted in such an organic and metabolic way. Until such a chapter comes in, I tell you, the church has never come into existence yet. It is here that the church comes into existence. Then, listen, Paul can give a praise to God, to the whole universe. To him be glory in the church.
Well, Bob, this view really comes out in the first two chapters. You know, we read the verse a moment ago at the beginning of the program in chapter 1, the church which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. But it's really here in chapter 3, in this incredible stretch that I think a lot of people who study this book doctrinally have a hard time with. They have to kind of put it in a parenthesis because it doesn't continue the doctrinal flow, but it really gives us the how-to, doesn't it?
It does, Chris. As you pointed out in chapter 1, we see that the church is defined as the body, the fullness of Christ. So there is a clear statement of what the church is. But not until chapter 3 do we find out how this fullness actually comes into being. In our experience, something has to happen within us, the believers, to cause us to become this body as the fullness of Christ. In Ephesians 3, of course, the fullness here is the fullness of God. But the fullness of God is the fullness of Christ. So this is the church. So the result of the experience that's presented to us in Ephesians 3, verses 16 through 19, the very end result is that the church, as the fullness of Christ, which is the fullness of God, comes into being practically. So these verses, very short section in Ephesians, but so critical, so central to the revelation of the church in Ephesians, and shows us what we as the members of the body need to experience. We need to be filled with the riches of Christ through our enjoyment of those riches until those riches fill every part of our being, our spirit, our mind, our emotion, our will. Our entire being is filled and saturated with Christ and all his unsearchable riches. Then we will be the church as presented in the book of Ephesians.
What about his reference here? Actually, I'll tell our listeners, it's a bit of a look ahead, a foretaste, an appetizer for the message that we will have tomorrow. Because he pointed out here, I don't know if you caught it, it's in this context now that Paul can offer this highest praise to God. In verse 21, it says, "To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all generations forever and ever. Amen." Really the highest praise in the New Testament here, but it's in this context, isn't it? And not until now, as he said, is Paul able to offer such a praise.
Yes, when God obtains such a church, which is his fullness or his expression, then glory will be to him. Then he will have the glory. The glory, the expression of God will be there in fullness. In the church, God's glory will be manifested, because the church, by that time, has become the fullness of God, the very expression of what God is.
Well, in this last segment today, Witness Lee is going to actually put us on the test. Have we seen this vision? Have we really opened ourselves to the Lord to see and gain this kind of vision? And if not, I believe we have a good direction for how we all need to pray. Here's Witness Lee.
I sure would like to check with you. Have you seen this tonight? Have you seen this tonight? We need such a vision.
Amen.
We need such a revelation.
Amen.
We, both old and young, brothers and sisters, we all need to be filled with such a vision.
Amen.
Then we go out. We go out with this revelation. Then we become the sent ones. Then we open up our mouths. We speak something. We don't speak doctrine. Right? We speak this vision. Then we become the spokesman of Christ. Then we all will be apostles and prophets. There is the only way, the unique way, that the Lord can do something to build up his church. Otherwise, he has no way. I assure you, until we all will see this vision on this earth, there's no way for the Lord to accomplish anything. 20 centuries all have passed. What has been accomplished? Look at today's situation. Not many have such a vision. Oh, I do like to impress you, to burden you, that tonight when you get back home, kneel down.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy upon me. I need such a vision, Lord. I need to see. What is the fullness of God? And how could the fullness of God come into existence? Lord, show me, what is the constitution of your body? What is the constitution of your church? And how could this be accomplished? We all need to pray this way. You'll be another person. Surely, you will be no more an ordinary person. You will be the apostle, you will be the prophet.
Well, Bob, I think you can't help but be impressed that he really, at this point in his speaking on this occasion, began to express his deep burden related to God's people having this view, this vision. This is really the great need today, isn't it?
It is, Chris. I think there's so much confusion related to the matter of the church because God's people don't have this vision. And God really has no way to accomplish the building up of the church on the earth today unless he can gain a group of people who will open up their being to him and even pray, as our brother suggested to us, that the Lord will open our eyes and give us this vision of what Paul was speaking about here in Ephesians chapter 3. Undoubtedly, Paul had this vision. He received this vision from the Lord, and that's what made him an apostle. When he went out for the Lord, what did he present to people? He presented to people this vision. Now, we need to receive the same vision that Paul had, obviously the same vision Witness Lee had, because he's here now presenting in this message this vision to us. Now, this vision needs to be spread and needs to be received by millions and millions of the Lord's people on this earth. When this takes place, the Lord will have a way to actually constitute the church to be the body of Christ, the fullness of the triune God, the expression of the triune God. This will allow him to carry out and actually bring to completion the very eternal purpose which he had in his heart from eternity past. This is a tremendous matter that calls for us all to open ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't see, but I want to see. Lord, open my eyes that I may see what Paul saw concerning the church.
Of course, as we've already touched, Bob, this vision, this revelation captured our brother Paul. Really, he talks about it almost as this was his real imprisonment here. This is what he was imprisoned to and for and by, this vision, and how he desperately was laboring now at this one book, in this one very unique book in the New Testament, to present this vision in full to his people. As you said, all the centuries of confusion and misunderstanding related to the church, but there is available on the earth today, this kind of speaking that unlocks it in its highest revelation. Really something.
And that is really our hope, Chris, that we would get into this very speaking and receive this vision.
Appreciate very much your fellowship and your help. Not an easy message, Bob, but I do feel the Lord was honored today.
Oh, I agree with you, Chris.
Well, we hope you, we don't know what all you were able to receive, but we do pray that that the Lord would be merciful to all of us and renew and refresh and deepen whatever perception we have into this great vision, what Paul called the great mystery, really the subject matter of the book of Ephesians. We hope you'll contact us about receiving the printed life study messages. They really are the real resource here and treasure to go along with your own study and reading and praying over these tremendous verses in this book. Our toll-free number, if you'd like to contact us, 1-888-LIFESTUDY, 888-543-3788, or write to us at Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814, and our email address is radio@lsm.org. We'll return tomorrow. We'll continue on in this live study of Ephesians. For Bob Danker today, I'm Chris Wilde, and thank you very much for listening.
And break and build together.
Revelation is a book of signs and prophecy, revealing the ultimate destiny of many things, including the world, unbelievers, and Satan. But more importantly, it reveals the destiny and consummation of the people of God. In the Orthodoxy of the Church, Watchman Nee progressively unfolds the history of the Church from the time of the Lord's ascension to the time of His coming back. He sounds forth a call to all believers to be overcomers in this present age, in simple and clear language, echoing the Spirit speaking to the churches. The Orthodoxy of the Church by Watchman Nee is available at Christian bookstores everywhere.